Open your Bibles up to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Glad you're here. And I hope that you're glad you're here. This is not the most comfortable of the time. Certainly what we wanted. I got here about 6:45, opened the door and knew we were in trouble. Immediately called Ricky. He came up and did whatever it is that people like him who know things do, and found out the problem. But it's not going to be fixed today. But people were coming in. This reminds me of when I was a little girl at Simcoe. This reminds me when I was a little girl at Persimmon Grove. Well, welcome to the good old days. Because it's now, even us others who didn't experience that, now we will know what that's like. Glad you're here. Travis and Stacy Harrison are here, good friends of ours from the Oak Grove area. I let them know about 7:15. They had plenty of time to be somewhere around, and they basically decided to sweat it out with us. And we love them, and they love us, and our families are really close, and really glad that they're here. And if you haven't had the chance to meet them, take advantage of that before they have to head out today. John chapter 10. I just want to read the verses. Read with me John chapter 10. Read verse 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's kind of like the last shot of a long chapter, where John chapter 10 we would probably describe as that good shepherd chapter. Jesus has a lot to say about a shepherd. He has a lot to say about sheep. Has a lot to say about the work and the role of a shepherd, describing a good one from a bad one. This is the last, I guess you'd say, the last sentence of that. And it's kind of interesting how in these last couple of verses, the sheep are prominent for a couple of words. Then the shepherd comes back in. Then the sheep, then the shepherd. He just goes back and forth. My sheep hear my voice. He talks about what the shepherd does. He talks about what the sheep do. I know them. They follow me. He talks about the shepherd. He talks about the sheep. And so the sheep are prominent a little bit, then the shepherd comes back in, and what you've got this interchange of emotion as we hear these descriptions of these two. And what it's emphasized is there is something mutual going on here. Shepherd has a role. Sheep has a role. There's this mutual relationship. There are mutual responsibilities. There's mutual knowledge, one with the other. So what I want to look at today, we're going to call this the sheep and the shepherd, but really all we're going to do, we're just going to break down these two verses. You're teaching the whole counsel of God, you got to do a little bit of it all. But what I really, really like is just textual studies. Just, here's a verse. What does it say? So that's what we're going to do today. Let's just take these two verses, and let's just, the best that we can, let's just try to break them down a little bit. And he starts out with just, my sheep. So now here's where the shepherd is being made prominent. My sheep. The shepherd is the one that's being described here. Think about all the different things we can use with my. We use that word all the time. I doubt there, can you remember a day when probably we wouldn't have used my? Okay, my wife. My children, my friends. When we use my in that situation, what are we talking about? We're talking about relationships. Jesus said, my sheep. There is a relationship between him and his sheep, and then all the other sheep in the world who are somebody else's. My inferring relationship. What about when we use the word a woodworker who says, my table. An artist who says, my drawing. A painter. My walls. I painted these walls. What's that talking about? Now we've got my talking about workmanship. Things we had a hand in. My sheep. He's the creator of those sheep. Not just those sheep, of all. Philippians lets us know that. We go back to Genesis 1. Jesus is there. Relationship, they're mine. Workmanship, they're mine. What about my book? My name's in this book somewhere. My name is on a deed of a house. somewhere, wherever those deeds get filed. When we use my book, my house, my car. Now what are we talking about? Now we're talking about property. My sheep. There's a relationship. My sheep. There is workmanship. My sheep. Not your sheep. My sheep. There is property. How did your car become your car? How did your house become your house? How did those clothes become your clothes? Because you bought them. How did the sheep become his sheep? Because there was, he didn't find them. He didn't inherit them. He bought them. We have songs that talk about blood bought. The epistles speak of it, not bought with gold, silver, precious jewels, but with blood. So when he talks about my sheep, there's a lot going on in that, in two words. It's a relationship. There is workmanship. There is property, ownership. All of that being inferred with that. The shepherd being prominent. My sheep. Hear my voice. And now the sheep get brought into this thing. So there's responsibilities of being his workmanship. We owe the master something. There is responsibility with being somebody else's property. We don't get to do what we're not the one in charge of certain things. They hear my voice. Look back in the chapter, same chapter, but look into verse 5. That very last phrase, they know not the voice of strangers. Again, this big section of the good shepherd, the sheep come up a lot. And he said, my sheep, they know the difference between my voice and a stranger's voice. You know, there's a lot of voices out there. In the spiritual world, how many voices are there? Yes. They got imitators. When I was growing up, I don't keep up with comedy anymore, so I don't know who would be a present day example of this. So you young guys, y'all aren't going to know who I'm talking about. People my age, close to my age, a little bit older, you'll definitely know the name Rich Little. When I was growing up, Rich Little was the imitator of imitators. He made a living. That was his stick. I mean, he could kind of copy anybody. He could make his voice sound. That was what he did. That was his thing. And my guess is, although I can't call a name, my guess is there's probably comedians today who do the same thing. They can, their thing is they can imitate people. There's a lot of people imitating New Testament teachers. There's a lot of people imitating the voice of Christ. There's a lot of people imitating the voice of the apostles. There's a lot of people trying to imitate the voice of the prophets. His sheep know the difference. My sheep hear my voice, verse 27. My sheep, verse 5, they don't follow the voice of strangers. I have been told, and this whole lesson is harder for us than it would have been the ones who heard it 2,000 years ago initially. They knew all about shepherds. Some of them would have been. Even ones who didn't know it, they understood the concept. Most of us have spent very little time around sheep. Most of us probably don't know many professional shepherds, people who do it for a living. They still exist in the Middle East, but they don't exist in our circles very much. So we don't understand maybe some of the inner details of this. But it's interesting when you read about shepherds. There might be a big barn. Maybe it's a family kind of thing. And so at the end of the day, you put all the sheep inside one big fence. You put them inside one big holding. Then the next morning, you go out and you start talking. And if the stories are right, I have no reason to doubt them. If the stories are right, here's a sheep, a bunch of sheep. But when the shepherd starts talking, his start coming. They know the difference. All these sheep in there, but they know the difference between the stranger and the real deal. They know who they belong to. They know who they are possessed by. They know who takes care of them, and they follow. 2,000 years ago, all would have understood that concept. My sheep hear my voice amidst all the babbling. We've got to hear the real deal. We've got to recognize the difference. Somewhere today, somebody, the Bible says, where does it say that? My preacher said, well, I'm glad your preacher said that. What does the Bible say? And maybe we get an article. Maybe we have commentaries. The example, the applications just keep going. We've got to know the real, because that's one of the responsibilities of His sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And now it goes back to the shepherd's point. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. I'm not going to repeat that, but turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Have your Bible marked. Keep your finger here. We're coming right back to John. As a matter of fact, this is the only time that we are going to leave the book of John. So hold your spot. We're coming right back to it. But 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here's one of those verses that would be nice for you to memorize. If it's not a memory verse to you, at least know where it is. 2 Timothy chapter 2, what an encouraging thing that this is. 2 Timothy 2 verse 19. The foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. We know what it means when something is sealed. We talk about signed and sealed. This is sealed. Bam. This is the foundation, and it's a sure foundation. The foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those that are His. He knows His people. They are peculiar to Him. He knows each and every one of them. When I was teaching, I worked in, if I remember right, it was in four different systems. So, and the way it worked every time, when things are right, principals are the ones who do the hiring. Principals take care of their school. And so I went through the interview process, and it was the principal basically that made the recommendation for me to be hired in each of those situations. Not the superintendent. Superintendent, bam, they get the seal. They sign off on something. But the point I'm just trying to make is, when I was hired in those four different settings, the superintendent had nothing to do with it. The guy running the whole deal, the big guy, didn't know who I was. We would have met later on. We did meet later on. But they... assistant superintendents. They didn't know who I was. A principal hired me. And then there was the other guys above that who didn't even know me. When Carl and I were when we were in college and we first got married, both of us worked at Walmart. Sam Walton was the guy. He was still living when Carl and I worked there. This was the late 80s. Sam Walton was still alive. I worked there 3 years. Carla worked at Walmart 6, 7 years maybe. I don't remember. Sam Walton didn't know who we were. Now think about where you work. Wherever you are. Unless you will privately run your own business, then there's probably somebody out there above you. They don't know you. It could be a CEO of the company who might be 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 states away. Not only does he not know you, never met you. How can we can apply this a lot. But here's the shepherd saying, I know you. That's encouraging to me and you. It ought to be encouraging to me and you that the workman, we're His workmanship, His sheep, because He is the worker. He is the one who made us. He's the one who created us. And He says, I know every last one of you. And you, it's sound. It's been sealed. That is a foundation that is sure. How encouraging that is to think that He recognizes us. We're not lost in the crowd. There is not an anonymous sheep here. Not a one. That's a high honor to be recognized by Him. We are big enough. He's big enough for all of us. As a matter of fact, He not only knows us, He knows us better than we know ourselves. Go back to chapter 1. John chapter 1. This is early on. People are just getting to know Him. John is beginning to introduce Him to people. Those people are beginning, so it's kind of like John introduced Him. Those guys introduced Him to other people. And it's just kind of the chain starts, right? Well, as that chain begins to extend out a little bit, in John chapter 1, verse 47, Jesus meets a guy named Nathanael. Never met him before. Nathanael doesn't know Him from Adam, as we say. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. And he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Jesus didn't say, hey, nice to meet you. Hey, let me tell you who I am. Let me tell you where I'm from. Let me tell you what I do. No. Nathanael, honest man, trustworthy man, no deceit in you. Verse 48, Nathanael said unto him, "How do you know me?" This is a stranger walking up to him, telling him things about that he shouldn't know. How do you know me? And Jesus has answered and said, "Before Philip called you," remember the chain of events are happening. This man introduced this, and then Philip is the one that got this kind. "Before Philip told you about me, I saw you when you was under a fig tree." And Nathanael answered and said, "Rabbi, you're the Son of God." How do you know me? I don't know you, but you told me things. You told me things you shouldn't be able to know. Now that tells me a little bit about you. And it's interesting, a couple verses down, Jesus said, "Well, if you think that's special, if you think this has got your attention, you as well, you're going to see a lot greater things than this." And he would have saw greater things than this for 3 years. And he knows us. And he knows us intimately. Does that make us uncomfortable? He knows us very, very well. This is not just some, "Oh yeah, I remember you." No, he knows whether we are people of deceit or not. He knows whether we are people of honesty or not. He knows whether we are people of conviction or not. "These are my sheep and I know them." Now back to us. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. Back to John chapter 10. They follow me. Remember, a lot of voices out there. A lot of rich littles in the spiritual world out there. And yet we are able to distinguish His voice and not just to recognize Him being the speaker of that voice, but then we follow that voice. There's a big difference, isn't it? Me and you hear a lot. "They hear my voice." Me and you hear a lot. Driving down the road. And calls all the time. Sometimes it makes her mad. I guess it depends on her attitude, the day she's having. Something, a commercial's on or whatever. "Hey, what are you talking about? I wasn't listening." And sometimes, "I don't know how many times." "You're right. It was right here. How do you not hear that?" "I don't know. I didn't hear it." There's a difference in there being a racket in the background. There's a difference in something being registered. Okay, there's a sound. And then paying attention. Those are world apart. Hearing and paying attention are not equal. Recognizing a voice and obeying that voice, they are not equal. And so they have their own distinct role here. "My sheep hear my voice." They don't just hear. They follow. And that since the gospel was taken by the apostles from Pentecost, and then they did that incredible mission they were sent on. They took it from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. And they did their job well. Faithful ambassadors. And since the gospel was first uttered and carried out to all nations, all these continents over the generations, one constant has remained. Teachers have come and gone. The constant is soft hearts who would hear and obey. And that's what Jesus was talking about a long time before that message was ever even taken out. When warnings are given, when rebukes are given, we heed them. When encouragement is given, we take cheer and joy from them. We hear. Whatever it might be, we hear and we follow. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Now back to the shepherd. And I give them eternal life. I think most people would say life is a precious word. Because life is a precious thing. So if life is a great word, then what in the world would eternal life be? How would we link that? Under what umbrella are we putting that? We talk a lot about it. We'll remember We'll remember his sacrifice in just a little bit. We think about him giving his life. And he did. But what he's saying also, I'm not just going to give my life, I give life. Think about that. All these years later, still as true as it's ever been. If he were here today, he could talk about it past tense. I gave my life so I could give you life. He didn't speak it back then because it had not happened yet. I give life. And you could look at that going forward or backward. I will give life to all those who have heard and followed. One quick aside. If we work our way back up through the verse, they follow me and I give life. I give eternal life. What if we're not following? Now, before we go any farther into the next statement that's made, the one building on the other. My sheep hear my voice. They don't just hear, they follow. Because they follow, I give them life. If we're not following, it's not something we can buy. We think we've been blessed so much, we think maybe we can buy our way out of some things. And this is a gift. This is something that is given. This is something that's not earned, not found. They follow, and I give life. I hope that just reminds us of the necessity, the responsibility we have of being obedient. And then that last phrase, they will never perish or be plucked from my hand. The idea is they will not be lost. That was always a danger for sheep. Just wandering. They can't take care of themselves. They can't save themselves on their own. And he says, with me, the good shepherd, that won't happen. Never perish, never plucked. What he's talking about in a word is protection, security. That's what the phrases of never perishing or being plucked from his hand. That's the idea. And that's what separated a shepherd from a hireling. Look in look back, you're still in John 10. Look in verse 11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. He that's a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep they are not, they see the wolf coming and they leave the sheep and they flee. He's showing the difference between the good shepherd and the one, it's just a job. The one who loves them and the one who is just being paid to look out for them for 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, whatever the shift might be. The double duty of a shepherd was to feed and to protect. The feeding part's easy. If that's all involved in being a shepherd, I think I could volunteer to be a shepherd. I can throw some stuff out. I can throw them some kernel. I can throw them some grain. I can get them some grass. I can get them some hay. I can get them fed. You know where I'm going to have a problem is when something shows up that's got teeth bigger than I've got fingers. See, I don't love those sheep. I don't love your sheep. Kyle had goats for a long time. I don't love Kyle's goats. I can feed them for him if he goes out of town. But I don't love his goats. I'm probably not going to die for them. No. I'm not going to die for them. No, there's no probably to it. I'm not dying for those goats that I don't love. And that's what Jesus says. That's the distinction. That is the separating point between a good shepherd and a shepherd. I will protect mine. I will die for mine. And because I'm willing to die for them, they can be secure. They can be in a state where they can't be lost. That's the idea. Following him leads to this place of safety and security. What an incredibly strong assurance of success. He's talking about perfect protection. He's talking about a pledge of absolute safety in the hands of the Father. A Father full of power, a Father full of wisdom, a Father full of knowledge, and success and safety is possible from any outward foe. We talked about wolves, we talked about animals. Add to that storms, add to that thieves. And Jesus is saying, I can protect you from them all. That would be outward stuff. What about inward things? Corruption, discouragement, disappointment. I can protect you from it all. Inward, outward. I can get you to safety. I can get you to the place you want to be. You know, the apostles who would have heard this, it just, in a few months, they're going to be scattered from the shepherd. The shepherd's going to be dead. And they're going to spend a weekend, they're going to spend 3 days or so in a stupor. And it wasn't, Jesus is not saying that the sheep are going to be plucked away and the shepherd remained. What he said was, shepherd's going to be plucked away and the sheep remain. You're going to be shepherdless. I won't be here with you. But you will be secure. Not leaving you. John, this is John 10. In John 13, you won't be alone. I'm sending the Comforter. Actually, John 14. I'm going away. The Comforter will come. You will not be alone. You will not be orphaned. You will not be stranded. You will be secure. You will have everything that you need. A couple of applications we need to make. Because we want to teach this as clearly as it is taught there. They will never perish or be plucked away. But a lot of people have taken that. There's a lot of bad ones. A lot of rich littles in the spiritual world. And many have taken that and say, see there, the sheep can never fall. He didn't say they could never fall. He said they will never be plucked away. There is a difference in an open palm and a closed fist. There's a bird in your hand. There's a gerbil in your hand, whatever pet you may have. There it is. You're not going to kill it. You're not going to hurt it. As a matter of fact, you're taking care of it. But they can take a swan dive off. They can by choice. They can by conscious decision. They can choose to leave. Let me give you real quick examples of something, just one chapter from each other. Acts chapter 7, there was some outside pressure put on Stephen. As a matter of fact, they took him outside the city and they started stoning him. And he withstood that. Stayed in the palm of safety. And when he looked up, Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. A little trivia. The only time we see him standing at the right hand. Every other time it talks about him having a seat. Do you appreciate what that was? There was Jesus knowing his sheep, giving him a round of applause, standing at his death. That's a humbling thing. That's a shepherd knowing what's going on. And he's Stephen, paradise today. The Pharisees could do a lot to him. They couldn't pluck him out of the hand of the Father. About 30 verses after that, we meet a man named Simon the sorcerer who has some outside pressures. He's kind of lost his esteem. Maybe he's lost some money. He's not having people come pay him to do his smoke and mirrors anymore. And all of a sudden his heart's not right with God. All of a sudden there's gall and iniquity and you have not part nor lot with deity anymore. What happened? Who snatched him from the hand of the Father? Nobody. He took a swan. He took that jump off. Did a cannonball right back into the world. Teach this as it's taught. Appreciate this as it's been taught. But make sure we understand it as it was given. The shepherd can protect. The shepherd will protect. If we hear and if we follow, we can choose not to. And if we choose not to, remember the order. They follow me, I give eternal life. What if we're not following? They follow me, they're protected. There's a place of security. What if we're not following? Make sure we understand and make sure we apply this as we ought to. One last application. It's interesting that time and again in the New Testament, we are compared not to certain animals, we're compared to sheep. Again, I'm not a shepherd. Still, evidently not the smartest of animals. Not a lot of skill on their own. He compares us to animals that are kind of helpless and defenseless. And he uses that to describe Christians, his people. showing the peril possibly of a Christian life. Do we properly understand those perils, those dangers? Or do we arrogantly, ridiculously, not very smartly put ourselves in positions? We're putting ourselves 2 inches away from a lion just foaming at the mouth. And because we think we're safe when we are not. We're described as sheep for a reason. We need to be careful. Now let me give you one last verse. Look at verse 31. We just read the last two verses of the sheep and the shepherd. The whole chapter was talking about it. But when he got through in verse 31, the Jews took up stones to stone him. Are you glad that he would let us be called his sheep? Are you thankful that he would know us? Are you thankful that he would give us such a special blessing as eternal life? Are you thankful that he can pay, that in whatever comes in our life, outward or inward, he can deliver us from that. He can safely get us through that. There's a new song we're learning. As a matter of fact, I plan to lead it this Wednesday night when we have our singing service. The last verse. There's no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. We can sing that song. No power of heaven, no power on earth, no power of man. We can sing that because that's exactly what John chapter 10 is telling us. We want to praise him for that. Or do we want to kill him again for that? They wanted to kill him when he got through with these words. My sheep hear my voice. I know him. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish or be plucked from my hands. And they're looking for a mountain to throw him off of. They're looking for a stone to crash his skull with. They were ready to kill him. They didn't appreciate the shepherd very much, did they? They didn't appreciate what he had to offer. Get your songbooks out. I hope we're sheep that would appreciate more than that. There is a shepherd who's offering a place of safety and security and salvation eternally. And I hope we would appreciate that. We as his sheep, I hope we want to hear him and I hope we want to obey him. Hear and follow. And if there's anything that's making us question that security, if there's anything making us want, am I still in his palm? Does he still see me and acknowledge me as his own? What's the problem? Because it's called repentance. Whatever that problem is, we got to fix it. And we need to fix it now. Don't wait. Fix it now before we go to our classes. Do it while we stand and sing.